Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. We are now several months into the Trump administration, and activists have scored some important victories in those months. Yet there's always more to be done, and for many people, the question of where to focus and how to help remains. In this series, we talk with organizers, agitators, and educators, not only about how to resist, but how to build a better world. I'm Sarah Jaffe, your host.
I'm Bridget Flaherty, co-founder and co-director of Down Home North Carolina, and I live in Balsam, North Carolina.
I'm Miranda. I'm an organizer with Down Home, and I live in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I'm Keisha Pena. I live in Mebane, North Carolina, and I am a member leader of Down Home North Carolina.
So to start off with, give people a sense of what Down Home North Carolina is. When did it get started? How did it get off the ground?
So Down Home North Carolina is a member-led grassroots organization. We believe in building power for working communities in small town and rural North Carolina. We actually were formed right after the election. Myself and Todd Zimmer, we have been friends and organizers for many years. And I think that for us, when we saw the results of the 2016 election, we just felt really inspired to really do something different and really make big changes in our lives, because it felt like the political realities that we were facing required that of us. So, you know, when we were looking at, you know, the sort of political makeup of North Carolina and really what had happened since 2010 and the far right takeover of the state, and then moving into 2016 and watching that happen at the federal level, it felt like, the best offense that we were going to have was to make sure that we were building strong local leadership in places in North Carolina that weren't necessarily the places that had a lot of organizing infrastructure in. And so for us, this felt like a long-term project that needed to happen in order to make sure that working people got what they deserved, were able to build their leadership and flex their muscle, so that we could really be making wins that could change people's lives in the years to come. So we basically said in November we were going to start Down Home, and then actually got off the ground in June of this year. So we've been around for about 6 months. And originally it started out just Todd and I doing the organizing. So I moved back to the mountains where my mother lives, and I was actually living with her for the first few months. And Todd was organizing in Alamance, in the center part of the state. And we just got out on the doors using a listening survey, asking really broad questions to folks who, I mean, I think, you know, Keisha can talk to this too, and Juan can talk to this, because Keisha was met doing the survey. But we went with three broad questions, basically, which were, what are the issues that matter most to you and your family? Who's responsible or what's responsible for those issues? And what are your solutions? I think one of the things that we really felt we learned from the 2016 election is that a lot of working people, like, don't feel listened to. Like, the parties have never contacted them. It felt like a lot of people were speaking for them, and yet they were like, y'all have never come to our door. Like, you've never sat in our living room. And so we actually decided to take our first, I mean, again, we've only been around for 6 months, so we basically used the first 4.5, 5 months to just listen and use that survey to really be able to develop the leaders and develop the issues that would be the things that we were going to fight on as Down Home. So, yeah, that's really how we got started.
Well, I met Down Home. Well, I met Juan and Todd in my apartment complex. So it started for me in September think the end of September, and I went to a meeting that was led by a member of, a resident of Mebane, George, and I went to that meeting, and we discussed, they discussed the things that they were interested in finding out more about Alamance County, and for me, I always say that I was skeptical, and I think that will kind of never go away, just for the kind of world we live in. But it wasn't something that I felt like we had in Alamance County. There's a lot of racial tension that is kind of swept under the rug, or no one really talks about, but we know it's there. So for me to hear about and see a diverse group of people in a room together talking about building power for working people in Alamance County, black, white, whoever, that was interesting to me. So when we did the surveys and talked to people in Alamance County, for me that was something that I never done. Like, I had never actually listened to my neighbors. So those questions about the issues that concern their families the most, sitting in their homes, some people actually invited me into their homes, and I sat down, whether they were having dinner or, you know, just sitting down watching TV, you know, I got to sit and listen. And I guess I didn't realize, like Bridget was saying, I didn't realize that people didn't feel like they had a voice or that their opinion mattered, because I'm used to being online and seeing everybody kind of giving their opinion on any and everything. But rural town people, a lot of people don't have access to the internet computers in their homes, so they, I guess they are kind of sitting there, you know, confused or angry or bitter or concerned in their homes by themselves, and they don't feel like they had anybody to talk to. So when we went around with those surveys, people talked, and they felt like once you got them in, you know, hey, this is what we're doing, and we got in the door, you know, they really opened up. And for me to hear everyone's story and feel connected in some kind of way, whether it was something I was feeling personally or, you know, just knew of family members who were kind of going through the same thing, it helped me to see that although there is that racial tension, we are connected way more than they want to give us, you know, want us to believe. And for me, that's what this process has kind of opened up for me.
What were some of the things that you were hearing people talk about that they wanted to change, that were the issues that people were struggling with? And what were the issues that you were struggling with?
I kind of felt like I wasn't struggling with anything on the list of the survey. So me getting involved was more helping people around me, and actually finding out, well, maybe I do have some issues that I don't really know about. Healthcare is definitely a concern for me, losing my healthcare because I'm a cancer patient. In the back of my mind, that's a concern, but it's not something that I sit around and really become fearful about. But I did find that a lot of people, you know, are worried, especially older people, senior citizens, are worried about losing their health care, are worried about losing their Social Security. Minimum wage is an issue here. Affordable housing, decent housing, doing canvassing, that opened my eyes to, I live in a very nice apartment complex. It's renovated, an old yarn mill that's renovated. So to walk around Alamance County and to see where people live, see how people live, and to know that there aren't many options for them right now to live a little bit better. And some people don't know that they could live better. So healthcare, affordable housing, decent affordable housing, and raising the minimum wage was the main concern for most of the people that we surveyed in Alamance County.
Tell us about, I don't know if Juan, maybe you want to take this, tell us about the process of getting the organization going and some of the first things you started to work on as a group.
Well, it's definitely very slow and grinding work, and it's something that, you know, intentionally we have been very disciplined about not going into the and, like, you know, we're talking about not just, like, dictating what the issues were and what the solutions were, but really just going in and talking to people, you know, as we say, you know, mm-hmm. people are the real experts of their lives, right? So we started mm-hmm. the survey, talking to people, as many as we could, identifying the issues, and then trying to follow up with them. Obviously, people had different levels of engagement with the survey. Many people, you know, were skeptical for very legitimate reasons. I mean, it's something that, you know, I really appreciate Keisha's skepticism, you know, 4 months in,
yeah.
Because it speaks to, like, how deep, you know, people's disengagement and, I mean, sense of, you know, betrayal and just, like, you know, feeling forgotten and tricked and duped, right? So mm-hmm. but the process, there also have been people who, you know, as skeptical as they've been, they're giving us a chance to, you know, talking to us more, inviting us to their house, mm-hmm. meeting us, you know, I mean, it's surprising how open people are inviting you to the living rooms and trailers so going around and deeper in those conversations, right, learning more about what are the things that drive them, what are the things that, you know, really, you know, keep them up at night, what are the hopes, aspirations, learning about, you know, their background and building some of those relationships and going back to them. And, I mean, you know, it's basic organizing, right? Like you create mm-hmm. opportunities for people to get involved. And, so it started with, you know, I think a great example of how, you know, a trajectory was we met, this woman named Kristen, Cookie, outside of DSS, and then she, after a couple one-on-ones, we mm-hmm. were invited to her house, and where she had invited 7 of her friends, mm-hmm. including George, who was at work, but during his lunch break, he called through a Google chat or, you know, the Skype or something, and he was in that meeting, and then from there, we met George, and then George, you know, we had one-on-ones with them, and then he said that he wanted to organize a meeting. So that's when we started knocking doors on, you know, his neighborhood, and that's where we met Keisha by, you know, mm-hmm. promoting this that George was leading and helping support George in facilitating this meeting and you know, helping build the confidence and supporting, you know, developing their skills in the process and you know, not just developing their skills, but also, like, you know, people have skills. Like, people organize every day to survive. People organize every day. Mm-hmm. new jobs, and it's basically just, like, helping them see, you know, how talented of organizers they are already and helping, you know, just channel that. And, you know, so we started doing the listening tour and then helping, you know, folks organizing their own house meetings or you know, sometimes even bigger meetings, and then started doing some basic trainings, talking about power. That's a very important thing in you know, in how we organize. Power is at the center of it, right? And we are in it, you know, to build power and to be able to make some real differences. And we understand that we can only do that if we have an organization that is powerful. And by that, we mean lots of members who are actively engaged in building the organization and taking action.
Mm-hmm.
And, from there, developing those skills, of training around racial justice, which is also, like, a key component. You know, we know mm-hmm. we are in a county that's super diverse, but we also know that there is in a state that's super diverse in many ways, and we know that, you know, racism obviously plays a huge role in people's lives, and we are explicitly an anti-racist organization as well. So
right.
be able to
yeah.
talk about that and talk about class and be able to, you know, have some some productive discussions, you know, with people that normally, you know, and for many reasons, legitimate reasons, have a lot of distrust with each other, and be able to start talking about, you know, start talking about the concrete issues that affect their everyday lives, to start talking about assistance mm-hmm. and talking about how all these things, you know, play together. And that's the process along the way. And you know, we're getting to a point where we have started, you know, identifying potential campaigns and taking some more decisive action and you know, really excited about 2018.
You know, again, we really felt that to win, you have to be so strong in your communities, which again means leaders from the community building the organization, running the work. And yet, there were moments throughout the summer and fall that we took to mobilize and get into the streets, because we are a fight back organization. We are an organization mm-hmm. that believes that, you know, you need to make demands and you need to be taking on interests that are making your life harder. And so we were finding those mm-hmm. moments over the summer to basically make interventions around healthcare. Around we were in response to Charlottesville. And we have been working around the Duke Energy rate hike. So on mm-hmm. the healthcare fight, we were able, I mean, this was in maybe 3 to 4 weeks of just being in existence. So we didn't have yet Juan on or Keisha as part of the organization, but we were still basically using petitions, both online mm-hmm. and in the field, to talk about the need to make sure that healthcare was a human right and that our representatives were not voting to take that away. And mm-hmm. we collected over 500 petitions and had a 3-member delegation go to Senator Tillis's office in Raleigh to deliver those petitions. When Charlottesville happened, like Juan said, I mean, this moment, you know, we need, we're very explicit about being a multiracial organization that is really trying to defeat racism and build a world and a North Carolina that values everyone and sees the dignity yeah. and in everyone. And so we did a vigil in Waynesville, which is where I organize, in the mountains in Haywood County, mm-hmm. where over 200 people turned out. Which was huge for that area, and really showed, I think, again, the ways that there are folks that are really saying that hate has no place, in rural red counties even. We did anti-racist trainings, following that for Haywood and Alamance. There were 2 panels that were done, one at the Graham Civic Center and one at Alamance Community College, that really brought together mm-hmm. the Black leadership within Alamance, as well as historians and academics, and community members, where people just had the ability, and I think Keisha was really speaking to this earlier, it was just, you know, people had the ability just to talk about what and how racism impacts them and how they want to see a community that is built towards, again, values of inclusion and dignity and safety, and not built on hate. And it was events that were, you know, the Graham Civic Center only could hold 100 people, and we were standing room only with over 130 that came out for that one. And then around the Duke Energy hike. So, again, I think for Down Home North Carolina, we're about fighting on the issues that matter to working folks and trying to build campaigns that will actually change people's lives. And so Duke Energy, that became very natural that we were going to do a petition on it and action around it, and are going to be actually doing more in the new year. Because, you know, 2 years ago, Duke Energy, there was a coal ash spill. They were at fault for it. The pollution that, you know, was caused from the spill was damaging our wildlife. It was killing people. And now they're at a point where they were fined for it, and they were trying to put that fine on the backs of working people. And, you know, basically threatening to raise people's utility bills upwards of $20 a month. Now, our members are working folks that are, some of them are on fixed income. You know, some of them are on 3 jobs and are at $9 an hour for that, and have many kids that, you know, and families are trying to support. And $20 is going to crush folks' ability to keep the lights on. And people were angry about that. We started a petition, and again, we started off healthcare 500. First thing we did, the Duke Energy petition got over 4,500 petition signatures. And we've been mobilizing now at the, basically the rate hike hearing. So, they had, at the utility commission had a hearing in Asheville where we had a member deliver the petition to them. And there will be another hearing, in January in Raleigh that folks are going to be mobilizing towards as well. So I think as much, all of this is to say, like, even though, again, we are doing the very necessary groundwork that builds that base, that gets us into a stronger place for long-term fighting and power building, we're also trying to take advantage of moments where we can at least raise our voices and leverage the power that we've built in communities to stop some of the most egregious abuses that corporations are having on working communities in North Carolina. I should also say we also were involved in raising the minimum wage rally days at Labor Day. We mobilized folks in both counties to, be in the Labor Day parades where we were talking about the need for North Carolina to raise the minimum wage since it hasn't been raised in over 10 years and working people deserve more. So we also got out in the streets around that.
It was a year. I don't even know what adjectives to use for it anymore. What are some of the big takeaways that you have from this work in the last year? I'd love to hear, you know, sort of brief answers from all three of you on that.
I can start with that. And again, I keep saying we've only been around for 6 months, which to me is still deeply, one of the things that I guess I'm taking away is that, you know, I'm deeply proud of the members and have really seen the fact that if you take the time to listen and if you take the time to tell people that they have the ability to lead in their community to come together and determine what solutions they want to see to improve not just where they live, but the state, that, like, folks rise to that. Like, there is a fighting spirit in these counties where people know they deserve better and they want to fight for power to make their lives and their county and their communities better. And it's about building that vehicle that folks can own to do that work that I think I have really just seen in action. And so as much as I think there's a narrative out there right now that, like, we're in a moment of despair and that the bigger political forces are out organizing us, and I think in some ways that's true, but if you actually create the vehicle in places that haven't had infrastructure before, that, like, folks will come in and they will work and they will you know, find their work break as the moment to actually do a call list to get people to come out to a meeting. Like, if you have real folks from communities leading, that, like, more people are going to join because it's going to be authentic and people are going to be really motivated, even if they weren't motivated by other efforts in the past. And so I just think that, my biggest takeaway is that people are ready to fight. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but I think that, there is a willingness in these counties, to really be, working together, doing the necessary, work to make things better.
I want to piggyback kind of off of what Bridget was saying, as a member, as a resident of Alamance County, I think this is something that I was looking for that I didn't necessarily know I needed. Within the last election, I was fed up, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a seat. I'm going to worry about my house. I'm not going to worry about what's going on in the world. I'm not going to get so involved in social media. I'm not going to rile myself up. I'm just going to focus on me. And within months of saying that, Juan, Todd, and George were walking in my apartment complex and handed me a flyer about building power for working class people in Alamance County. And the fighter in me was like, yes. But the skeptic in me was like, what's really going on? Because it was, like I said before, it was very interesting to see that here. But I need this. And I'm noticing that a lot of people here that are involved and have, that I've spoken to, like, there are still people who text me to, you know, to remind me that, hey, you didn't follow up with me, like, to make sure that they're involved and they're kept in the loop, even if they don't make it to the meetings. They still kind of want to know what's going on. And they've heard our stories at the kickoff meetings, and they've heard, you know, they know that we've listened to them. So investing that time in our communities has been valuable to me, because it helps me to continue to be a compassionate person and to understand that it isn't just about me and my household, as it is the well-being of everybody around me, because we all need to be at a certain level of peace to continue and to help each other grow in the community. But something that really touched me recently was we went to Mark Walker's office, and we participated with another group in Alamance County that had been going for 38 weeks continuously to his office to try to talk to him, and down home went. And we got to speak, you know, well, some people were able to speak about their issues from down home. And I remember looking over, and her name's Kim, and someone that you wouldn't necessarily, I guess people wouldn't give her the opportunity to speak, and maybe she feels like she didn't have that voice, but she spoke on what mattered to her. And I remember looking down at her leg, and it was literally shaking. And that was something for me to take away, because I felt like we are doing something. We are giving people the opportunity to speak their piece, and they are pushing through, whether it's scary, whether it's making them nervous, whether they're fearful. And even myself, I push through to do things and to be accountable to the other members that I'm not just here. I want you to see that I'm getting involved and that I am taking steps to help the organization grow, and then that helps other people to feel a sense of ownership to what we have going. And I'm just proud of what we've accomplished in these past 4 or 5 months for myself being involved.
There's so many small and big things. I mean, all that was mentioned. I mean, I think for me, something that's like constantly just like sharing, it's just that there's this tendency, you know, for people to be dismissed and people to be, you know, discarded, and just like, you know, there's no point in talking to them, right? Because their ideas are too backwards, and you know, it's like that cannot be, like, you know, farther from the truth. Like, there's so many people that may not have all the perfect ideas, but at the same time, like they have, I don't know, in my experience, you know, many more better ideas than some of the people who are in place of leadership at the moment right now. And for me, that's been something that, you know, going around and talking to people who might have some, you know, mixed ideas around race and all this stuff, but, you know, they want universal health care, and they want unions, and they want, you know, higher minimum wage, and they want, you know, the environment. And we start talking, you know, about how why don't they have these things, and then start talking about how maybe, you know, racism has something to play with it, and just seeing people open up and you know, things just like sparks, right? And being able to see people grow and challenge some of those ideas, some of those lies that they've been told and they have, you know, bought into, and really grasp how you know those lies have been used to, you know, pin us down. And there's so much hope that gives me, because I mean those are the people that we have to organize. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, strategically, if we don't organize, then someone else will, and you know, and they are organizing.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's, I've met people along the way who I wonder if I had met this person a year ago, and you know, offer a different vision, you know, or answer to their questions, or you know, or help to see like a different, you know, explanation,
mm-hmm.
To their fears and anxieties. You know, they might be somewhere else right now, right? And I think that's something that it's always humbling and at the same time, you know, inspiring. I think that it's gonna take, you know, for us to be able to resist and even, you know, beat back the ongoing attacks against working people. Like it's gonna take for, you know, for us to be more humble and understand that, you know, there are people who get this way better than we do. And maybe they just haven't made all the connections because, you know, they're being organized otherwise. And you know, I think that just creating spaces where people can be heard and come together with other people and you know, the contradictions just stand out on their own if you lay them out, right? And I think that that's something that, you know, like I said, it's humbling and inspiring at the same time.
What are you looking forward to working on, fighting for in 2018?
We, you know, again, at the end of this process, sort of each county has now the beginnings of the vision for the local and state fights that people are going to take on where they live and then bubbling up to the state. So, you know, particularly I think the issues around fighting for a higher minimum wage and better housing conditions exist within both counties. And so, you know, we're joining the statewide fight to help raise the minimum wage because, again, I mean, it's just been too long and all of our members are just really struggling around how to get more for the work that they're doing. And so, you know, that's going to be a big fight for us. I can say it in, we're also, so opioids has been a really big issue that has been impacting particularly like the mountain counties and particularly where I organize in Haywood. And so, you know, we've been developing partnerships with folks in the state and are looking at, helping to support the statewide fight for a fair chance hiring. You know, and making sure that, you know, there is a cycle here where addiction, is really also connected to opportunities of good employment and opportunities around stable housing. And so we really want to be a part of like a holistic approach to ending the opioid crisis and saving lives. And so taking on that statewide fight to, make sure that folks who have had previous convictions are no longer barred from employment is a really big issue for us. As well as locally looking at things around both meeting direct needs. So we're being trained on how to do naloxone distribution. We are also looking at local legislation that would be, you know, around helping to make sure that we have expanded treatment options and making sure, again, that people are not put in jail. Who actually need mental health support or just health care. So we're looking at local fights around that. I can also say that we are a part of the Poor People's Campaign and are going to be actively involved in organizing at the state level around mobilizations and all of the organizing that goes along with the Poor People's Campaign as well.
In Athens, you know, we are at a identify some of the campaigns we want to take on. We will be busy for the first month around this Duke Energy rate increase. We're mobilizing folks to the hearing and doing some canvassing and some recruiting around that. And there's been also conversations. In Almonds, they are recently decided to bring back 2-way to 7G, which is the deportation program. It deputizes the sheriff's department, you know, to act as immigration officers, which the county had several years back, and it was under, you know, national headlines. It was under investigation by DOJ, and there were basically just, like, deporting hundreds and hundreds of people and putting from them. And they're breaking it back, and as you know now with, you know, Jeff Sessions and Trump enough, there's even less of oversight over what happens. So it's really energizing to see, you know, folks, immigrants and non-immigrants, you know, taking on this question and really like, you know, talk about the importance of organizing around something that creates, you know, so much fear and devastation in the community. And at the same time, being able to, you know, make those, you know, broader connections, you know, like obviously these attacks on immigrants are not independent from, you know, attacks on other communities of color, and, you know, police brutality and the way that, you know, these resources are being used to police, in order to police, you know, immigrant folks when we all know they can be going to other more useful places. That's an exciting opportunity that we see coming forward as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, so other than, you know, starting on the local and statewide campaigns, the issue campaigns that will, again, hopefully we'll be able to win and make real improvements in people's day-to-day lives, you know, we're also part of our work is to really rebuild the democracy so that we have governing power and that the agenda that is at the state level reflects the agenda of working people. And so we're going to be active in the midterms and really making sure that we're growing our civic engagement power. We're going to be doing, you know, get out the vote work. We're going to be using that as an opportunity to hold candidate, you know, forums and really make sure that people who are running in these districts are going to be in favor of the agenda of Down Homes members. And if they're not, they should be ready to be held accountable around that. And so, you know, for us really also flexing that political muscle, using the base that we have built through the listening process, using the base that will be developed in these issue fights, turning that into the electoral moment and using that as a way to really make sure that our democracy is working for us and our interests and not the super wealthy like and corporations, like that's going to be a big thing for us for the midterms.
What am I looking forward to in the future? This next year, I'm excited because it could be, there's a lot of things that we have to work towards, but I'm excited about the unknown more than anything because we still have the opportunity to grow. We still need new members. We have a lot of more people to talk to meet, to educate ourselves on. So I'm excited about the future of learning within this next year, learning more about my community and the issues that are going on because I feel like I had been distant for a long time, just kind of living here and not paying attention. So I'm excited about learning with my community about the things that are going on here and getting involved and growing that power that we are talking about all of the time. So that this next year is going to be, it's going to be awesome. If these last 5 or 6 months is any indication of what 2018 is going to look like, we're about to build that power we've been talking about and make some great changes, I feel like, in Haywood and in Alamance County and continue to grow across North Carolina.
Excellent. So how can people keep up with Down Home North Carolina with all of you?
We have a Facebook page, just Down Home North Carolina. Look at the search, like us. We have a lot of our events, and you can sign up there to be in the loop around all of the meetings and actions that we're going to be doing. We also have a website, which is www.downhomenc.org. So D-O-W-N-H-O-M-E-N-C.org. And you can sign up there as well. And at that point, yeah, this is really like the two places that I think most people can get plugged in for the future work of Down Home.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Fayebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.